You ever been through that kind of feeling when trying to read the Bible? You're just kind of like, wow, not quite sure what to make of this. I read it and I either don't understand it or it's weird stories. One of my favorites is about a guy named Elisha. Elisha was getting a little older and his, you know, getting bald, and a bunch of teenagers came up and started making fun of him, calling him a bald head. He said, "You go up, you old bald head." And so Elisha just decided he was going to call on the power of God. And he literally called grizzly bears to chase him into the woods. An interesting story. What do you do with that? Studying the Bible and reading the Bible can be hard, but I want to tell you that it's probably the most important discipline that you can have in your life. We're going to talk about that this morning. We live in a world right now in St. Louis that is dry, right? Brown grass prevails. And we were walking across a couple places, and I noticed that literally as you're walking across the grass, it's crunchy. That's not a pleasant feeling, this brown, crunchy grass, and it's a result of 100-plus degree temperatures, which we've had, along with no rain for several weeks. It's just a dry, barren time for gardens and for lawns and for plants and all that kind of stuff. And man, it takes a lot of effort right now if you have a lawn that you want to keep green, or if you have a garden, to keep it watered. And if you don't, the result's going to be pretty tough and pretty tragic on your plants. We went on vacation a couple weeks ago. While we were gone, we had asked one of our neighbors to help us out with some watering. And this neighbor, this friend of Alex's, watered all of Alex's flowers in this one little flower garden, but that was it. And so we came home, and all the rest of our plants were all dried up, shriveled, and turning brown, and just dying, while Alex's little garden was just thriving, and all the flowers were growing, and it was beautiful. And so that's kind of where we are often. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I find in my life that I am really dry, really barren, really, really struggling. I feel my life really turning brown, and I can't really put my finger on it, why that struggle is there. And I really think and I believe that for those who are followers of Jesus, those who have given their lives to Christ and who trust him, the key component to growing a good garden, a good life, to being all that God wants us to be, and to being full, and to having, you know, just this thing that works, is to be in the scriptures and to study God's word and to learn from it and to hear what God has to say to us through the Bible. But it is a discipline that takes effort. It takes work. Like I said, a couple weeks ago, we went to went to Washington, D.C. on vacation. And while we were there, we got to see a lot of really cool stuff. In fact, I think of all the things that challenged me and that I found a lot of excitement in, the things that kind of hit me the most was when I was literally in the presence of items and things that are there in the various museums in Washington, D.C. that literally had changed history. To be this far away from the Declaration of Independence, I mean, the real one, the one that was literally signed by the founding fathers of our country. To be just a few feet away from the Wright brothers' plane, the real one that flew in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, that changed our world as the whole aviation age took off. To be just between a piece of glass between myself and the telephone that Alexander Graham Bell invented. To be just a few feet away from Mr. Rogers' sweater and the puffy shirt from Seinfeld. All right, maybe that didn't quite change the world. But the one thing that really touched, by the way, that is true. Same case, same display case, Mr. Rogers sweater, the puffy shirt from Jerry Seinfeld. How those two things go together, I don't know. That has nothing to do with the message, it's just kind of extra. Anyway, the thing that left me, I mean, I want to tell you, for me, left me literally for a second trembling in awe, is in the Library of Congress. Now, of all the tours we took, it was the worst, okay? It was boring, and we had a librarian give us the tour, which it felt like a library. But in the Library of Congress, in a case, in a room that has just this lighting that is set up to never damage the pages of it, in a case, you can't take pictures of it. You can't, all you can do is go up and look at it. And if you don't understand the history of it, you don't understand what this meant, it's probably not going to mean a lot, but I did. And as I stood there, I trembled, as in a case there in the Library of Congress, they have one of the three remaining copies that are intact and in good condition of the Gutenberg Bible. 1455, Johann Gutenberg, a businessman who invented the movable type printing press, began to print Bibles so that people could have the scriptures in their hands, so that the common person, they can mass produce the pages of a text. Up until this time, if you wanted to have a copy of the Bible, somebody would have to hand write it for you. But he had invented something where they could literally print them off, and it literally changed the world. Around the turn of the millennium in the late 1990s, there were several. The most important person or the most important event of the last 1,000 years. And both Time Magazine, CNN, and several other sources said the most important person, the most important event of the last 1,000 years was the Gutenberg Bible. And I'm standing in the presence of this thing that literally there's three left in the entire world, that was printed in 1455 that changed the world as people began to get the scriptures and get things that were written into their hands so they could read it for themselves. Up until this time, if you were literate, you literally would have to go to your parish, your church, and they would have a copy of the scriptures there, and you would have to read it for yourself. And it was this very, very Bible, this very invention that became the spark that lit the Reformation, as later Martin Luther and John Calvin and some other peoples literally came and brought us back to biblical Christianity, because they could point out some things in the scriptures, and people could read it for themselves. We live in a literate age where, you know, in many of our houses, we probably have more of these than we know what to do with. But often, in fact, I read one quote this week that said, the greatest dust storm that would ever happen on the face of the planet is if all the people who had Bibles would get them up and dust them off at the same time. We have this incredible gift that God has given us. But for most of us, our lives are very dry. Our lives are very, very crunchy. And when the heat comes, it just, we don't know how to connect life. And what God has done is God has given us his very revelation of himself in this book, where we can hear him, understand him, grow in him. Now, a lot of you may be struggling with even what I'm saying so far, because for many of us, we're not sure what to do with the Bible. Kind of our culture is saying the Bible's an outdated book that has kind of led us to the dark ages and led us to a lot of ideas that we're not real comfortable with in 21st century America. But I just want to encourage you that this book is so much more than just a bunch of ideas about God. In fact, you know, pretty much any other book that you pick up that deals with the subject of the divine is a book of speculation, meaning that it is man's, people's idea about God. Whether it's the Book of Mormon or some other holy book, or just somebody writes a book, that ultimately, these are just, you know, those are books of speculation where people are coming up with ideas and just kind of thinking those ideas about God. But the Bible is something totally different. The Bible is a book that is not just speculation, people trying to come up with great ideas about God. The Bible is a book of revelation, a book where God has literally given us his ideas about himself. And so when we go to the Bible, we literally have a book that God has given to us that tells us about who he is and how he interacts with people. And literally, as he deals with this, it is from him. And so to get into the scriptures is so much more than just getting into a book where we have a bunch of guys who've written ideas about God. Getting into the Bible is literally a way for us to hear from our Creator, to interact with him, to connect with him, to know him, to experience him, and to allow him to literally shower goodness, shower blessings in our life. But here's the deal. And this is why it's part of this series where we talk about gardening for dummies. Because what we're really trying to say is that in the life of somebody who's a follower of Jesus, there needs to be certain things in your life to grow. The absence of these things, you're just never going to grow. You're just going to kind of stay where you are, and you're going to dry up, and you're going to struggle. And much like a garden needs water for us to really grow in our walk and our faith and all that sort of stuff. We need the water of the Bible. We need that poured into our lives so that literally God will use it to nurture us and to help us grow and to become what he wants and to become more like him. The goal of Bible reading and the goal of all of these disciplines is transformation, for you and I to become more like Jesus every single day. And the most important way for you as a follower of Christ to grow in your walk with Jesus is to develop the discipline of having the Bible involved part of your life on an ongoing study basis. But, see, it would be very easy for me to launch into a deal that says, all right, on the table, I have a Bible reading plan, and you need to pick it up on the way out and start tomorrow with day one. But the truth of the matter is, just like a garden, any garden, we are wired differently. People grow gardens for different reasons, and all of us, when we approach some of these disciplines, we're going to experience God's presence and God's joy in different ways. And so, as I talk through this, the goal of this message this morning is to challenge you to be a person who is Velcroed to the Bible, who literally, it is part of your life, and you're stuck to it, and it's stuck to you, and literally it becomes something that is very integral, and it begins to water your life as a follower of Jesus, and you begin to experience growth and goodness and prosperity and blessings in your life as you experience not just the words on the page, but the one who is behind the words. Some stories about some people that this happened to. Back in the 400s, there's this guy named Augustine. And Augustine was a guy who liked to have a lot of relationships. He lived with a woman for like 14 years, had a child with her, but he would sleep with other women. He was just kind of a guy who pursued every philosophy out there, and everything he tried, it just kind of ended in a dead end for his life. Nothing really worked for him, and he just really began to be a person who just was seeking and struggling. And as he was kind of doing that, he met a guy named Anselm, who was a preacher, who would every week he'd go hear him because the guy was just really good at opening the Bible and sharing them. And Augustine was challenged by what Anselm was saying, but he just wasn't there yet. One day he was in a garden. As he was sitting in the garden, he was just literally broken at what his life was becoming, at what was happening in his life. And as he was doing this, he began to hear the voice of children playing on the other side of a fence, just kind of hanging out, having a good time. And all of a sudden, this one kid began to say these words over and over, take up and read, take up and read, take up and read. And as Augustine kind of explains this, he doesn't even know what the kid was talking about, but he heard these words repeated over, take up and read, take up and read, take up and read, and he just felt like it was this breath breathing into his life, this call to go open the Bible. He took the Bible, he opened it, and he opened to a book in the book of Romans that said, listen, life is not about drunkenness and despair and sexual experiences, but it is about knowing Jesus. That's the gist of the text that he literally did the boom approach to. And he literally felt the voice of God speak into his life, breathing life into him. And Augustine became one of the most important Christian thinkers in all of church history. It's from that day on he dedicated his life to knowing everything he could about this book and what God had said in here. Martin Luther, you probably have heard of Luther and the Reformation, but for him, he was struggling with the fact that he was doing everything he could to be a good person. He literally gave his life to be in the church every day, 24 hours a day, but it wasn't working because he didn't figure out what it meant to really trust and know Jesus. And he began a study of the book of Romans. And as he was studying Romans, God began to speak into his life and show him that, listen, it is only the ones who live by faith. The just will live by their faith. Billy Graham. We know who Billy Graham is. Billy Graham has preached to millions. Time magazine this last week just ran a huge article on the impact he's had on the lives of our presidents for the last 50 years. Billy Graham was at an important time in his life. He and this guy named Charles Templeton were really close friends, and literally they would preach together. Charles Templeton had went away to a university, and that university had kind of eroded Charles Templeton's belief in the reality of what the Bible is, that it literally is revelation from God. And so Billy Graham began to be challenged with this, and Templeton literally would say, listen, you're simple-minded. You don't know what this is about. You just need to really come back to realizing that we can't really trust that book. And Billy Graham, as a young preacher, his faith was literally being shaken at the very core. One night, he was sitting in a house in North Carolina. He was broken and just kind of struggling, opened the Bible, laid it on his lap, and he prayed a prayer that basically said, God, I don't know everything, but I do know this, that when I open this book, I hear you.
And because of that, I am making a decision now that, first of all, I will never doubt that book again, but second, it will be an important part of my life every day. And Graham goes back to that point and talks about that being a benchmark in his life and who he has become. For me, I was in college and I was kind of wandering and meandering and struggling. And I had a time where I was just really challenged that if I really was going to be all that God was calling me to be, it was going to be because I took this book and made it part of my life. And I would just want to tell you that, anybody in here this morning, every one of us can come to a point where we say, you know, I know it's going to take a little bit of discipline. I know it's going to take a little bit of work, but I feel dry. And I feel like I am not experiencing God's presence. And I feel like I'm not experiencing all that God wants from me. And I just need God to reign in my life. But somewhere I have got to go plug the hose into the spigot and turn the spigot on and let the water run. And that's the challenge this morning. Reading the scriptures. There's a book in the chapter, the longest chapter in the entire Bible is Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 is literally almost 170 verses, I think, just about the Bible, the scriptures, and what the scriptures and the laws and the precepts and the ideas of God do in the lives of people who trust him this morning. And just as before we really jump into kind of the outline part of the message, which I'm going to get to in a minute, I felt like it was important for us to experience the scriptures this morning, to experience what God says through the Bible about his own word. By the way, outside of God and Jesus, the Bible's favorite topic is itself. It talks about itself from cover to cover, the fact that it is from God, about God, for God, to God. It points us to him. We experience him through the Bible. We need to obey it. We need to trust it. We need to hold on to it. And so as we study the Bible, it really says this about itself. And this morning, we're just going to experience a few verses, a few passages from Psalm 119. I just want you to hear and watch and experience what God has said, what the Bible says about those who will stop, who will let the water of God's word pour into their life and make a difference. Joshua was a guy who was at a crossroads in his life. He was a man who had been used by God previously as part of some great times in a book called Exodus, which is about God's dealing with his people and how God delivered them from slavery. And Joshua was a guy of great faith. For 40 years, he had kind of spent time under the leadership of Moses. Moses, you've probably heard the name of Moses, was the leader of God's people who led them out of Egypt and led them to kind of the edge of God's promised land for his people. God had promised that what is now Israel would be his people's land. And so Moses had led them up to that point. But then Moses was at the end of his life, and literally, we'll find in the beginning of the text we're going to read this morning that Moses had died. And so Joshua was being called to be the leader of God's people now. And in the text we're going to look at, in fact, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua chapter 1. It's about the sixth book of the Bible, Joshua chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to take one that's there at the end of the rows and read that and use that for you. In that Bible, we will be on page 154. Joshua was at this point where he needed God to speak into his life the things that he was going to have in order to be the type of leader that could lead God's people to the next place, to the next step. And as Joshua was dealing with this, God literally spoke into his life and challenged him to be a person who was Velcroed to the scriptures. That out of knowing what God had said and keeping what God had said, he would literally experience in his life and in his leadership all that God needed him to be. And so in Joshua chapter 1, God is going to speak to Joshua and call him to something that is deeper than just showing up once a week to hear somebody stand and talk. To literally be somebody who integrates the scriptures into his life in such a deep way that it's all that he is and all that he's about. And so we're going to read this beginning with verse 1, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Now, here's what's going on. God is talking to Joshua about the things that God is going to do. The book of Joshua is not about Joshua. The book of Joshua is about God. In fact, every book of the Bible, Jesus is the central figure. Even if you don't find his name, every book of the Bible takes us towards who Jesus is and what he's about, and what he does, and the fact that you and I are fallen people who will never please God, but Jesus is the answer to that. The book of Joshua deals with this in different ways. And I'm not going to get into that this morning, but even though it's titled the book of Joshua, it's not about Joshua. It's about God. It's about Jesus and his work. And God is telling Joshua, listen, in my plan, this is what I'm about to do. I'm about to take my people and give them their own land. This is my work. You're leading them, but I'm the one who's going to do it. Keep reading with me. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And then here's the commands to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. Key verse, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is talking to Joshua and God says, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do everything for my people, but you're going to lead them. And I need you to be strong and courageous. Where do you get your courage from, Joshua? Where do you get your strength from, Joshua? From the book of the law. And he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Well, what is he talking about? Well, Moses, the leader who had just died, wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And I imagine that when he is having this encounter with God, that Joshua was at some point in time, he had taken the scrolls. They didn't have books like this. They were on scrolls. And he had probably opened one of the scrolls and was reading it and was trying to figure out what it meant and how it spoke to him and what it was calling him to do. And as he did that, God said, this book of the law, this book you have in your hand, needs to be so integrated into your life that literally you're in a state where you're not turning to the right or the left of it. It's in, so involved in your life that it's so real that it's literally on your mouth all the time. You're meditating on it day and night, because when that happens, you will be strong and courageous. You won't tremble or be dismayed. You will understand that God is with you wherever you go. You will prosper. You will have success, because the things that I am calling you to do, I am going to partner with you and make them happen. Now, here's the deal. This is what I want you to hear from this. When you and I spend time searching the Bible, opening it up, reading it, doing the discipline of the scripture, and it begins to get into our life, the same God who said this to Joshua will do the same things in your life and my life. But we need to be careful not to make just the reading of Scripture the end. We can get into the Bible, and this is where a lot of times we get lost. We miss the big picture of what God is about and what God is doing, and we get caught in the details, and it doesn't make sense, and we get frustrated and burned out. We could become like this guy who was the Prince of Granada in Spain, who was captured for treason, and they decided that the cruelest thing they could do is they could throw him in this dark dungeon where there was just a little bit of light, and give him bread and water in this dungeon for the rest of his life, and give him one thing. They gave him a Bible. And for 35 years, this guy lived in this dungeon. And for 35 years, all he had to do was have the Bible. And for 35 years, he's left down there just being fed and water and bread through the hole down to the dungeon. For 35 years, he spent just figuring the Bible out, and he became an unbelievable expert in Bible trivia.
all around this cave he was in, he had taken rocks and scribbled information about the Bible. For example, he pointed out that Psalm 118 was the middle chapter of the Bible. He had figured out there was no name of a place or a person that was longer than six syllables in the Bible. All this Bible trivia information scribbled on this wall for 35 years, except there was nothing inside that cave that showed that he had ever encountered God or Jesus through the reading of it. It is not, hear me, we need to be in the Bible not so that we can become experts in the trivia and figure out all the ins and outs. By being in this book, the goal is that we will meet Jesus here. We will get in his path, what he's calling us to do. And that's why I want to call you to it. Here's the bottom line. If you and I will be people who get in this book and immerse our lives in it and experience the drenching rain of the scriptures, it will change us. And we'll become the type of people that God will use to do great things here in Eureka and beyond. I just want to encourage you. I hope you're hearing and challenged this morning and you've heard the whys. What I want to do for the next few minutes is talk about some strategies, therefore, to make it happen. Just from even from this passage we read, just kind of three different areas or strategies or ways that you and I need to integrate the scripture into our life, okay? And the first one is this, that we need to have Bible intake. We need to have intake. The easiest thing for me to do this morning would have been just to hand you a devotion book and say, go have at it. But for a lot of us, that would have been a harder thing because that just doesn't fit who we are. The first thing you and I need to work through is to find a way, a strategy, a process. We may need to find, attempt several different approaches to this where the intake of the Bible on a daily, regular basis becomes something that is part of who we are. Now, if I said to you, all right, tomorrow morning, we're all going to wake up at 7 a.m. or 5 a.m. or some of you, it needs to be 4 a.m., and we're going to get up an hour before we usually do, and we're going to read the Bible. My guess is that for the most part in here, some of you would have great success at that while the rest of us would fail miserably because that strategy doesn't work for everybody. If I said to do what I do, which is stay up late at night, send everybody else to bed, open the Bible, do it that way, a lot of you who go to bed at like 9 or 9:30 would be like, you're kidding me, okay? And so what I'm saying is we all are different, but we all need the intake of the scriptures in our lives. We all need a valve that flows the scriptures into us. For Joshua, he says, listen, do not turn to the right or to the left in verse 7. He says, listen, there is a channel where I am, and that channel comes from knowing the scriptures. In verse 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It needs to be an integral part of everything that you say and everything that kind of comes across your mind. Now, here's a question for you. Based on the words that come out of your mouth and your thought life, how much scripture is there? For me, very often, I am very much like the grass in many people's yards. I am turning brown and withering, and I'm not quite sure why. And the real reason is because I have not created an avenue. I'm getting a rain shower here or there, but there is not the steady intake of the scriptures in my life. So what are some strategies? What are some ways that you can do this? Well, first of all, I encourage you to kind of figure out what is your time to do something like this. Some of you, it may be the crack of dawn. Some of you, it may be sitting at breakfast. For me, one of the things that I've had to do in my life, don't hear me up here as somebody who has this figured out. I spend 4 hours a day, but it's not the way it works for me. I'm a spurt guy, okay? I do believe that it's important to have this in your life every day. My real reality is that I have spurts where I'm doing really well, and I have spurts where I'm a little bit dry. And I'll have days where I set aside a lot more time and days where I just don't quite get to it. But we need to find a way to have intake, and figuring out a time that works in my life for that to happen is key. It may be breakfast, it may be at lunch, it may be while I'm driving in the car. There's some strategies, especially like with CDs that are good for that. It may be when I'm at home in the evening, it may be right before I go to bed, but finding a time to make this work. And you might just decide that I'm going to start reading the Bible, which is a great goal. But the problem is that when you and I start reading the Bible and we just start at the beginning and try to go through it, that can be a struggle. Because Genesis is a lot of fun. Really cool stories, some weird stories, but they're even funny and you can laugh at them. You can learn a lot about people and how messed up we really are from Genesis. Exodus starts with some really cool stories about how God delivers his people. But by the time I get in the middle of Exodus and Leviticus, oh my goodness, we're lost. We don't know what to do. And so I would encourage you to even start a Bible reading program that begins maybe in the book of Matthew or the book of Luke. Some of you might say, listen, I'm hearing this, and I know that for me, I really need to read through the Bible. Well, once again, I would encourage you to come up with a plan. There's several. Here's a good one. If you were to start in the book of Genesis, the book of Job, and the book of Matthew at the same time, those three books, and read a chapter a day from each of those, you would be reading three different types of scripture from three different sections. So you wouldn't get bogged down in one area where you're like, okay, I'm lost here. You at least would have something else to go to that would be a different sort of literature, different sort of approach. And if you followed those and just read a chapter a day, basically you would finish the sections at about the same time. And you get through the Bible in close to a year doing it that way. There's all kinds of other strategies, but read the Bible. I mean, that really, when it comes down to it, the intake of the scripture, what I'm talking about is the fact that somehow I'm reading the Bible on a regular basis. Some of you, the idea of reading large chunks right now is overwhelming, and you really do feel like you need something that helps you connect and understand it. There are some great devotional books out. On the information table, I've put a bibliography with some of those. I would encourage you to pick that bibliography up and just kind of look at some of those devotion books that are out there where you can, you know, it'll have a little section of scripture and then some things that kind of explain it and help you understand how to apply it to life. That's a good strategy to get started in the intake of the Bible. Having a Bible reading where some of you, if you're like me, having highlighters and a notepad. There's actually some really good Bibles out now that have big margins where you can actually jot notes and ask questions and do those sort of things. Where instead of just reading, you actually have a way to interact with what you're reading. Some of you may find that you enjoy things like rewriting the scriptures in your own words. My point is this. You and I are not going to approach the Bible in the same way and experience it the same way. And if I give you my Bible reading plan, it's probably not going to work for you. So I shouldn't try to get you to do Bible intake like I do. But if you don't find a way to have Bible intake, you're going to be like my grass in your spiritual life, just the way it's going to be. And so, some of us, you know, the whole idea of reading can be hard. Man, there's some great resources out there with the Bible on CD, the Bible on MP3. One of the places where I really have pretty good success at doing some of this stuff is while I'm exercising. I used to find that when I exercised, I would just turn on the TV and there was another 40 minutes of mind-numbing, worthless. And especially, I'm middle of the day. I do a lot of my exercise in the middle of the day. Nothing's on TV. So I'm watching stuff that I don't even like. I began to realize that if I just do some of the things from what I'm talking about during that time, for me, it became very fruitful. For some of you, the idea of doing it while you're exercising just doesn't work. I'm not trying to tell you to be me. I'm telling you, find a way to pull out the hose, plug it into the spigot, and start letting the scriptures, the water of God's word, pour into your life, okay? There's a few strategies for that. And so, another idea I just want to point out is the idea of journaling. Some of you, the best thing that you could do is start in a New Testament book, and you just like interacting with things. You're the type of person, you just like being kind of up to your elbows in it. The idea of reading three chapters of the Bible would just freak you out. But to take a book of the Bible with a journal and read four or five verses and then just to write and contemplate and to write poems and to write songs and to write prayers and to write thoughts, man, that would just turn you on. It would literally just light your world up when it comes to this sort of stuff. That's a strategy for Bible intake. A lot of good books out there. I would encourage you, if you're like, I've tried some of these, nothing's worked, look up some of the books. Come talk to me. Well, I'll throw out some more. I don't have enough time to give you all the stuff I'd love to share with you about this. But find a way for Bible intake, pouring the scriptures into your life. The second thing that I think every one of us needs is not only just the intake of scripture, but focus. If you go in a garden and you really, you know, especially during the really, really dry times, if you have not had times where you've poured water, where it has seeped deep into the soil, where the roots can literally bury themselves deeper, then when the dry times come, there's just not a whole lot for your plants to hold on to. In the same way, we need ways that we seep the scriptures deeper into our life. In the passage we just read from Joshua, God tells Joshua, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. And in our culture, we think, okay, that means that I'm going to sit and you know, whatever it is. And I'm going to kind of empty my mind and experience the presence of nothingness. Well, that's not meditation. In the Bible, meditation is when I really focus my thoughts on very specific things in Scripture, and I allow God to yell through a megahorn what I normally hear in a whisper. It's when I take a smaller section of Scripture and I chew on it and I let it just literally seep into who I am and my being. There's all kinds of strategies, approaches that I can do with this. One is the one-word plan. Take a one verse of the Bible. Say, John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. Jesus was the one who was speaking. He said, I am the way. And on Monday, really focus on the word I. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, what is Jesus trying to communicate? Tuesday, focus on the word am. I am the way, the truth. What is the meaning? What does that speak? I am the way. When Jesus says, I am the way, what is he trying to say about that? Are there many ways or is he it? And you begin to take a scripture and put it in a few places and literally begin to chew on it just each day, one word at a time, and let it seep deep so that when the dry times come, your roots are deep. They're holding. Another strategy that kind of goes with this is the strategy of doing memorization. Of taking scriptures and trying to memorize them. In that passage we just read a few minutes ago, Psalm 119, the writer said, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. I've literally buried it so that I know it. Praying the scriptures, great strategy. For some of you, especially if you're really a person who's drawn by your emotions, find some passages of scriptures that speak deeply to you and take your prayer life and combine it with your scriptures so that when you're praying for people, instead of just saying, well, God be with so-and-so and help them, start taking the scripture or this person over here that you're praying for and literally start praying this scripture for them. You'll find that will just something about that will just move you deeply. Study the Bible. What I mean by study is that you're going to take a smaller portion of Scripture, you're going to have a pen, a pad of paper, maybe a couple helps out that will help you understand that section of Scripture in a deeper, more meaningful way. I think we all need strategies in our life for intake, strategies in our life for focus of the Scriptures. And then the third thing is that we need strategies in our life for the practice of the Scriptures. Practice. That means that we are going from I'm allowing the word to pour into my life and I'm putting it deep. Eventually, I have to hear what it says to me and allow Jesus to adjust my life and change me from the inside out through it. Mark Twain, I love this quote. Mark Twain said, most people are bothered by the passages of Scripture they don't understand. Not me. I'm bothered by the passages of Scripture that I do understand. I think that's true. We see Scripture, man, when it's a Bible verse or a Bible passage that makes sense, and I'm doing it, this is easy, you know, I'm good with that. But when the Bible challenges me or it doesn't make sense and it just is something that is bigger and greater than me, it's hard because I kind of want to put those in a corner and back away from them. But this is what God said to Joshua. He said, listen, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It needs to be part of who you are, and you need to meditate on it day and night so that
you may be careful to do according to everything that is written in it. The book of James compares the Bible to a mirror and talks about a person who walks up, looks in a mirror, sees what, you know, and their hair is a mess and they got things hanging in their mustache or, you know, the, you know, just stuff everywhere. And it, you should not go out in public like this. And so you see yourself in the mirror and you're like, and you walk away and you forget what you saw in the mirror and you go on about your life and everybody's looking at you like, dude, did that person not look in the mirror this morning? He says, a lot of people, this is the way they live their lives. They look in the mirror of the scriptures. They see themselves, but they don't want the scriptures to change them. And you and I need to find strategies in our life that helps us go from hearing to focus on the scriptures to literally letting the scriptures one step, one day at a time, through the power of grace and the Holy Spirit in our lives, change us. And I could give you all kinds of things, but one is asking questions. What did God say? What am I going to do about it? Learn to ask that question every day, every time you read the Bible. What did God say? What am I going to do about it? How do I need to repent? As I realize as I read the Bible that what it calls me to do, I can't. It is only the power of God in my life and the cross and the gospel that changes me. So if I just start making a list of all the things I need to do, I'm going to fail. How do I trust Jesus more? Find ways to have as part of your discipline the practice of the scriptures. This past month, about two or three days ago, we got our utility bill in the mail. And we spent 30 extra bucks this last month on water for our lawn. Our sprinklers are running all the time, and I got to be honest, our grass is still brown. But it's not as brown as some of our neighbors, where it's like brown, gone brown. Ours is just green clumps with a little brown all around it. Man, we spend a lot of money and a lot of time in watering our yard. What would happen in my life is if I spent as much energy and as much effort allowing the water of the scriptures to pour into me? How would that change me? I just want to encourage you this morning to be thinking on that, to be challenged. Verses 8 and 9, I want you to look at this with me again. He says this. This book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you'll meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I hear that word prosperous, and in our culture, I think, ooh, God's going to make me healthy and wealthy and rich. It's not what he's saying. In the text, the word prosperous there is a word that is used all through the Bible to describe when God breaks through in somebody's life and changes them from the inside out and uses them in great ways. It's used for some of the prophets where it talks about the God spoke into their life and now they speak God's word. It's a word that's used in the life of David when he dances before the Lord because he's experienced his glory. And what he's saying is, listen, when this book of the law is so real in you, your life will be full of me. He goes on in verse 9 to say, and the Lord your God, I will be with you wherever you go. And the concept there is not like this presence who's out there, ooh, God's with you. It's the idea of a partnership of two people who enter an agreement and do it arm in arm together. It's what God tells Joshua. It's what he tells you and me. When I allow the scriptures to enter my life, seep in, and become so real to me, God enters a partnership with us in everything I do. He does for me and with me. The story of Joshua is a great story of a guy who let this be part of his life, and God uses him in great ways. How about you? Are you dry this morning? Do you need water? It's great to hear it on Sunday until you start having Bible intake and focus and practice on as a real part of your life. You're going to be like my grass, and I don't want that for you, and I don't want that for our church. So there's the challenge. I hope God has spoken. I hope you're challenged. If you need more help with this or resources, I'd love to talk to you about that. I'm going to pray. The band's going to come out here. We're going to worship because ultimately it's the God who gave us the scriptures that is worthy of our praise and worship. It's the God who sent his son Jesus to be the word in flesh. And he dwelt among us that gives us a reason to sing. I want to challenge you to sing and celebrate the God who is good enough to not leave us speculating, wondering about him, but literally to be the God who shows himself to us through the Bible. And I hope that your garden is growing. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. I just ask you to speak into our lives today. I pray that we will worship you with a heart that just is passionate about you.
And I just pray that you will help us this morning to figure out how we can enter the scriptures into our lives, how we can allow the good news of your word to be such a vital part of who we are that it changes us from the inside out. God, I just ask you to just really make a difference in us today. And I thank you for your word. In your name I pray. Amen.